Brothers Pictures presents The Adventures of Robin Hood, based upon ancient Robin Hood legends, with Errol Flynn, Olivia de Havilland, Basil Rathbone, and Claude Rains. Directed by Michael Curtiz and William Keithley, with music by Eric Wolfgang Korngold. A British Sky Broadcasting presentation, voiced by Phil Moyes on behalf of MCS Agency. On a parchment, a legend reads, "In the year of our Lord 1191, when Richard the Lionheart set forth to drive the infidels from the Holy Land, he gave the regency of his kingdom to his trusted friend Longchamp, instead of to his treacherous brother, Prince John. Bitterly resentful, John hoped for some disaster to befall Richard, so that he, with the help of the Norman barons, might seize the throne for himself. And then on a luckless day for the Saxons, a town crier on horseback reads from a scrolled parchment to gathered townsfolk.
News has come from Vienna. Leopold of Austria has seized King Richard on his return from the Crusades. Our king is being held prisoner. Nothing further is known. His Highness Prince John will make further public pronouncement tomorrow."
Two men are in a castle.
"And how are the dear Saxons taking the news, Sir Guard?"
"Not even more worried than Longchamp, Your Highness."
"They'll be more than worried when I get through squeezing the fat out of their pampered hides."
"And you intend to act on your plans?"
"What better moment than this, Sir Guard? Whoever would have thought my dear brother would be so considerate as to get himself captured and leave all England to my tender care?"
"He may disapprove when he returns, Your Highness."
"If he returns, and I'll see to it that he doesn't. You must drink to this moment, Sir Guy."
They stand.
"Golden days are ahead. I'll assign tax districts to you tomorrow."
He pours from a decanter.
"Tomorrow, Your Highness."
The prince has knocked over a goblet. He and Sir Guy watch perhaps ghoulishly as blood-red liquor drips from a table and splatters onto a flagstone floor. Now soldiers take carcasses from a butcher.
"But who's gonna pay me?"
"Pay, pay. That's all you Saxons think about. Didn't I tell you it was for Prince John, who's just come up from London?"
The soldier leaves. Contemptuously, the butcher spits. Other soldiers at a blacksmith's anvil hammer shackles on a man.
"Stop, stop!"
A priest appears.
"This man is free born. He's a landowner. You can't make a slave of him."
"And he refused to send his men to work in Guy of Gisborne's field."
"But I protest."
Roughly, the soldier grabs the neck of the cleric's cowl and shoves him away. Elsewhere, a group of horsemen file two abreast from a wooded area into dappled sunlight. Several standard bearers are among them. Two speeding horsemen bring their steeds to an abrupt halt and covertly watch the procession. Its leading rider, resplendent in chainmail and heraldic surcoat, stops and with amusement points ahead. An archer, by his dress a commoner, sits astride a bough of a tree and shoots an arrow at an unsuspecting red deer stag.
"Dickon, follow me, the rest remain here."
He heads off with some of his men. The archer, in a clearing, is about to slice open the felled deer's belly when he hears the advancing horses. He looks up and runs for his life. The two horsemen that have been watching covertly all the while suddenly spur their horses towards the scene. One of these dashing, fit young riders wears red, the other green. Soldiers nab the archer, a short man, and present him to their leader.
"What's your name?" "You Saxon dog."
"A better one than yours."
"Look to your manners. This is Sir Guy of Gisborne."
"Sir Guy of the devil. There's little to choose between them."
"What's your name?"
"Much, the miller's son."
"Don't you know it's death to kill the king's deer?"
"Yes, and death from hunger if I don't. Thanks to you and the rest of you Norman cutthroats at Nottingham Castle."
"Be quiet, you."
"I won't be quiet. You can kill me if you like, but not until I've had my say. You can beat and starve us Saxons now, but when King Richard escapes, he'll take you by the scruff of the neck and fling you into the sea."
Gisborne raises a mace. The rider in green with an arrow has shot the mace from Gisborne's grasp. He and the man in red gallop towards and astonish the guy and the hapless much.
"What the devil?"
"Come now, Sir Guy. You'd not kill a man for telling the truth, would you?"
"If it amused me, yes."
"You can be thankful that my humor's of a different sort."
"By what right do you interfere with the king's justice?"
"Why, a better right than you have to misuse it. And that goes for your master, Prince John."
"I'll give him that message.
The Baron's meeting in Nottingham tonight.
Thank you. He does need a bit of a talking to. Hey, Will?
Yes, he has been getting rather out of hand.
Fetch him along!
Hold there. What's his fault?
He's killed a royal deer.
You're wrong. I killed that deer. This man's my servant.
Oh. I suppose you realize the penalty for killing the king's deer is death, whether for serf or noble.
Really? Are there no exceptions?
The man in green takes an arrow from its quiver, loads his bow and aims at Gisborne's chest, just a yard away. Sir Guy and his men, armed with lances, swords and the odd mace, but no bows and arrows, beat a retreat through the forest.
Thanks, good master.
Better look before you shoot next time, little man.
From this day on, I follow only you. Why, there isn't a poor Saxon in the whole of Nottinghamshire that doesn't know and bless Sir Robin of Locksley. Take me as your servant. Why, in all the forest, there isn't a hunter as good as me. I ask no pay, just to follow you.
Fetch the deer, then.
Much looks much pleased. A parchment reads, "The great cold hall of Nottingham Castle, the stronghold of Sir Guy of Gisborne, knew an unaccustomed warmth this night, for Prince John and his friends were met to celebrate a promising future. Under the watchful and perhaps envious eye of soldiers who guard the interior of the magnificent Great Hall, a sumptuous banquet is in full swing. Flaming wall-mounted torches and candelabra illuminate the proceedings. Lines of servants bearing ewers and flagons and platters piled high with food head for the top table. They pass a huge stuck wild boar sizzling on a spit, falcons flapping on a perch, and a musical quintet.
While Richard is bent on adventure in foreign lands, it is our duty as Normans to preserve the realm by giving loyal support to Prince John, the only true defender of the Norman spirit. Hail to Prince John!
All the men stand to raise their goblets to the prince. The ladies remain seated. An Irish wolfhound scoffs a carcass on the floor, and the prince with a gloved hand pops a tasty morsel into his mouth.
My lords, I thank you. Well, this is what we Normans like. Good food, good company, and a beautiful woman to flatter me. Eh, Lady Marian? Was it worthwhile coming with me from London to see what stout fellows our Nottingham friends are? Take Sir Guy of Gisborne now. One of our most renowned defenders of the realm.
Must I take him, Your Highness?
Why, you like him, don't you?
Well, he's a Norman, of course.
Is that the only reason for liking him?
Isn't that reason enough for a royal ward who must obey her guardian?
Nay, I'd not force you, my lady. But he's our most powerful friend in these shires, and he's already in love with you. If I could promise him marriage to a royal ward, it might help my plans.
Perhaps when I know him better.
Of course. You're a very wise young woman.
He stands.
Any more objections to the new tax from our Saxon friends?
Objections, Your Highness? With a Saxon dangling from every gallows tree between here and Charnwood?
Well said, Sir Knight, but not too many mind. Else we'll have nobody left to till our land or pay the tax.
He sits.
There's one exception I'd make, Your Highness. A certain Saxon noble.
Who is that?
Sir Robin of Locksley.
Sir Robin of Locksley? Well, I've heard precious little else since I've been here. What's his latest outrage?
Oh, nothing less than killing a royal deer in Sherwood Forest today.
And you didn't take him?
That would have been something of a problem, Your Highness.
A Saxon, a problem?
He's a notorious troublemaker, m'lady.
Aye. An impudent, reckless rogue who goes around the shire stirring up the Saxons against authority. And he has the insolence to set himself up as a protector of the people.
I could have captured him long ago, but...
But what?
Well, he's the deadliest archer in England, and...
My brave High Sheriff of Nottingham is afraid of him. I want him taken and hanged. At once, do you hear? I'll not tolerate it.
Open the door!
Two soldiers swing open great wooden doors, revealing Sir Robin with a deer slung round his shoulders. He swivels, knocking over two other soldiers with the dead weight of the deer. Diners in the great hall stare aghast as Robin enters, looking round, bow in hand, sword in scabbard. Soldiers cross lances to bar his progress.
Who is this? This?
Sir Robin of Locksley, Your Highness.
Ah!
The prince looks at Gisborne, who seems embarrassed.
Let him approach.
The soldiers release their lances and Robin approaches the top table, still with the deer round his shoulders. He stops in front of the prince.
Greetings, Your Highness. You know, you should really teach Gisborne hospitality. I no sooner enter his castle doors there with a piece of meat than his starving servants try to snatch it from him. You should feed them, Gisborne. They'll work better.
The deer hits the table.
For the compliments of your royal brother, King Richard, God bless him.
By my faith, but you're a bold rascal. Robin, I like you.
I'm gratified, Your Highness. I don't think Gisborne shares that sentiment, however. He does look sour. What's the matter, Gisborne? Run out of hangings?
I know a ripe subject for one.
You'll excuse me, Your
Sit
Highness.
Sit down, my dear. He'll not harm you. Sir Robin, this is the Lady Marian Fitzwalter.
I hope my lady had a pleasant journey from London.
What you hope can hardly be important.
What a pity her manners don't match her looks, Your Highness.
You hear that, gentlemen? Here's poor Gisborne so in love with Marian, he daren't say boo to her. And this saucy fellow gives her better than she sent.
He stands.
My lords and ladies, I would like to present to you Sir Robin of Locksley.
Robin bows to the assembled guests at two long side tables.
Sir Robin, permit me to present to you your host, Sir Guy of Gisborne, and our noble guests.
He bows again.
I'm deeply honored, Your Highness.
Have you had meat?
None but what I brought.
Well, sit down then. Sit down there, opposite me. Get up, Sir Ivor, and give him your place.
Your Highness.
Get up, Sir Knight. Come, Sir Ivor, out with you. Bring Sir Robin food. At once, do you hear? Such impudence must support a mighty appetite.
True enough, Your Highness. We Saxons have little to fatten on by the time your tax gatherers are through.
Robin tucks in.
Be seated, gentlemen. No need to stand on ceremony on my account.
The prince has whispered to a soldier.
So you think you're overtaxed, eh?
Overtaxed, overworked, and paid off with a knife, a club, or a rope.
Why, you speak treason.
Fluently.
I advise you to curb that wagging tongue of yours.
It's a habit I've never formed, Your Grace. You know, we Saxons aren't going to put up with these oppressions much longer.
Oh, you're not? Then listen to this.
He stands.
As you may know, my brother is a prisoner of Leopold of Austria. And from Leopold, I have received a ransom demand of 150,000 gold marks. That means that you, my friends, must collect in taxes not 2 gold marks in the pound, but 3. And the money is to be turned over to me.
Why do you, Your Highness? King Richard appointed Longchamp's regent.
I've kicked Longchamp out. From now on, I am regent of England.
This causes a stir. Robin has noticed the great hall doors have been closed.
Well, confound it, what are you all goggling at? Is it so strange that I decide to rule when my brother is a prisoner? Who's to say I shouldn't? You, Sir Mortimer of Leeds?
Not I, Your Highness.
You, Sir Boren?
Nor I, Your Highness.
You, Sir Ralph of Durham?
My sword is yours, Your Highness.
And what about our young Saxon cockerel here?
Robin spits out his food.
What's the matter? Have you no stomach for honest meat?
For honest meat, yes. But I've no stomach for traitors.
You call me traitor?
You? Yes. And every man here who offers you allegiance.
Sir Ralph stands and moves away from Robin.
Your Highness.
Provocatively, Robin cocks a leg and rocks back on the hind legs of his chair.
What else do you call a man who takes advantage of the king's misfortune to seize his power? And now, with the help of this sweet band of cutthroats, you'll try to grind a ransom for him out of every helpless Saxon. A ransom that'll be used not to release Richard, but to buy your way to the throne.
Let me ram those words down his throat, Your Highness.
Oh, no. Later. Let him spout for the moment. And what do you propose to do?
Robin leans forward and looks the prince squarely in the eyes.
I'll organize revolt. Exact a death for a death. And I'll never rest until every Saxon in this shire can stand up, free men, and strike a blow for Richard and England.
Have you finished?
I'm only just beginning. From this night on, I use every means in my power to fight you.
The prince stands.
Chicken!
A lance whistles past Robin's ear and pierces the back of his chair. Pandemonium breaks loose. Robin hurls his chair at an advancing soldier. He draws his sword and parries an attack from another pair. Marian watches with concern. Gisborne clambers over the prince's table. Robin heaves a serving table onto soldiers, turns and wrestles Gisborne to the floor. Soldiers pile in on top.
Impudence, Your Highness, if I could only reach him.
As the High Sheriff postures next to the prince and Marian, Robin escapes from under the melee.
Stand back!
Gisborne gets to his feet. Robin darts to a spiral stairway and heads upwards, but changes his mind and, quick as a flash, leaps onto a wall bracket supporting a torch, then onto a balcony. An arrow fells a soldier in the Great Hall. Robin scurries along the balcony and fires an arrow to the floor below. He ducks under the balcony wall to reload. Archers on the Great Hall floor unleash their arrows upwards. Robin shoots again. A soldier is felled. And again, another soldier is felled. He scuttles along the balcony towards a gate tower. Soldiers open the Great Hall doors as Robin on the other side of them rushes down the tower steps. From the foot of the steps, he fires an arrow as the doors open. Gisborne and his men retreat behind the doors, then try again, but Robin is too quick for them. They retreat again, and again, and again. A soldier bursts through, but Robin slays him. He's bought himself some time and flees down another spiral stairway. At the bottom, he turns, picks up a nearby bench and lobs it at pursuing soldiers. He then runs hotfoot to a castle gatehouse and shouts at soldiers there.
Quick! There's a traitor inside, trying to escape. Shut the door, quickly, officer.
Robin rushes onto Barbican steps, where Much and Will wait with two horses. Obligingly, guards close the massive doors behind Robin and bolt them. Much, Robin and Will gallop across the Barbican. Inside, Gisborne and a posse of soldiers have reached the doors, which they struggle to open, as the guards on the outside are trying to keep them shut. Eventually, they succeed.
Which way did you go?
The trio's two horses speed under a portcullis onto a drawbridge.
Here, Sergeant Mansfield! To your troop!
Two of Gisborne's men mount up and give chase. They head across the drawbridge. Gisborne's men seem to be catching up as they urge their horses onwards across a partially wooded landscape bathed in moonlight. A larger contingent of mounted soldiers thunders across the drawbridge. They speed down a grassy slope away from the castle's lofty hilltop perch. Robin has swiveled in his saddle and with an arrow has felled one of the immediate pair. He has turned in his saddle again and has picked off the second pursuer. The main chasing pack is still in hot pursuit. Robin and Will drive their horses through a shallow river. At the other side of the river, the three men dismount. Will slaps his horse's rump, sending it riderless along a track away from the river. The trio, with the second horse in tow, takes cover behind nearby foliage. Gisborne's men have crossed the river. Their leader brings them to a halt. He watches and listens, and chases after Will's riderless horse.
Quick.
Much mounts the remaining horse.
Find Crippen the arrow maker and his friends. Tell them to pass the word to every man who's been beaten or tortured. The Gallows Oaks in Sherwood tomorrow. They'll understand.
Yes, master.
Off you go and good luck.
Much heads back across the river. In Nottingham Castle, Prince John sits at a heavy, ornate table and by candlelight is scribbling on parchment with a quill and ink. Gisborne and another man, possibly his squire, stand before the prince.
Have it proclaimed in every village that this Saxon Locksley is an outlaw. Hang anybody that gives him shelter or aid.
Yes, Your Highness.
His possessions are forfeit to the crown. Seize his castle and his lands. Everything he owns. And just to let the people know how the wind has changed, the sooner you begin collecting the
ransom, Your Highness?
Yes, yes, of course. The ransom.
He signs the document and powders the ink.
There's a death sentence for your Robin of Locksley.
Gisborne takes the document and peruses it.
I'll have him dangling in a week.
In daylight, Robin and Will stumble through undergrowth.
I'm tired.
What?
After a nice refreshing sleep in the greenwood?
I pulled 7 acorns out of my ribs.
Lovely fresh air.
My teeth ache with chattering.
Nightingales singing.
An owl hooting in my ear all night.
Hooting? He was singing it asleep.
A well-built man confronts them on the other side of a river.
There's a lusty infant. He'd be a good one to reason into joining us.
By the look of him, his quarterstaff does his reasoning for him.
Let's see what he's made of.
It's your skull, not mine.
Robin and the man edge towards each other, across a log spanning the placid river, and meet in the middle.
Give way, little man.
Only to a better man than myself.
He stands before you.
Let him pass, Robin. He's much too warm to brawl with such a windbag.
When I brush this fly off, I'll give you a dusting for good measure.
This fly has a mighty sting, friend.
I've only a staff, and you threaten me with a long bow and a gray goose shaft. Aren't you man enough?
Wait. I'll get myself a staff.
Robin retreats to the bank on his side of the river and with a knife trims a tree branch. The man, not a little man as Robin described him, he's taller and heavier built, waits patiently. Will sits on the bank and prepares to play a lute.
Ready?
Yes!
As Robin and the man spar with each other midstream, as it were, Will strums his lute with a sugary sweet grin on his face.
Hey there, pretty fellow. Play a livelier tune that I can make this puny rascal dance to.
Will's grin becomes even sweeter.
You need a merrier tune? Well, how's this?
Furiously, they spar with their staffs.
Ha! Ha! Professor, watch, you've come to the right man.
Where is he?
Who?
This quarterstaff master.
Here!
Give my compliments to it. My friend, I should ask payment for what I'm teaching you here today.
There's something on account.
There's your change.
Robin is in the water. Drenched from head to toe, he wades waist-deep to a bank and accepts the proffered staff to help him up. He clambers up the bank and sees the funny side. They join Will sitting on the bank.
My head hums like a swarm of bees. What's your name, friend?
John Little. What's yours?
Robin.
Not Robin of Loxley.
Why?
Then I'm right glad I fell in with you.
It was he who did the falling in.
I wanted to see what you were made of. And I did.
I hope you'll not hold it against me.
On the contrary, I love a man that can best me.
I'd like to join your company.
And so you shall. If you can hold a breach like you held that bridge, you're one of us and welcome.
They shake hands.
This is Willa Gamble.
He took good care not to wet his feathers.
Just brain over brawn, friend.
He shakes Will's hand.
Heard Robin's orders. Look at me now and spread the word.
Much is with friends. Meanwhile, a Norman officer reads to townsfolk.
And by royal decree, Robin of Loxley is declared an outlaw and condemned to death.
Meet Robin and show it at Gallows Oaks.
Any person sheltering or aiding him will be hanged.
Meet Robin and show it at Gallows Oaks.
Robin in Sherwood.
At the Gallows Oak. Robin in Sherwood.
Robin Gallows Oak.
The word is spread through town and forest.
Gallows Oak.
I've called you here as freeborn Englishman, loyal to our king. While he reigned over us, we lived in peace. But since Prince John has seized the regency, Guy of Gisborne and the rest of his traitors have murdered and pillaged. You've all suffered from their cruelty. The ear loppings, the beatings, the blindings with hot irons, the burning of our farms and homes, the mistreatment of our women. It's time we put an end to this. Robin, right? Now, this forest is wide. It can shelter and clothe and feed a band of good determined men, good swordsmen, good archers, good fighters. Men, if you're willing to fight for our people, I want you. Are you with me? Aye! Then kneel and swear this oath. That you, the free men of this forest, swear to despoil the rich, only to give to the poor. To shelter the old and the helpless. To protect all women, rich or poor, Norman or Saxon. Swear to fight for a free England. To protect her loyally until the return of our king and sovereign, Richard the Lionheart. And swear to fight to the death against our oppressors.
A parchment reads, but Prince John's reign became even more murderous. Terror spread among the helpless Saxons, who knew that resistance meant death. Soon death became preferable to oppression, and the defiant oath became more than a thing of words, now outside a Norman castle.
Bring him up again!
He'll die if we lash him again, my lord.
Oh, he'll die, will he? Another one of their Saxon impotences. They'll do anything to trick us.
Continue!
An arrow has felled the nobleman. Robin gallops away. Elsewhere, beneath a tree, a soldier puts a rope around a man's neck.
Mercy, good master! Have mercy!
Not him dancing!
A Norman officer relishes his order being carried out. An arrow has pierced his chest. Meanwhile, an axe-wielding soldier splits open an oak cask. Nearby, a grey-haired commoner is in chains.
This will teach you to defy it, Prince John.
Two soldiers drag a young woman down dungeon steps. They fling her towards a seated soldier. She runs to her unseen, presumably captive father, but the soldier grabs her and throws her across his knee to have his way with her. An arrow has pierced his back. Sir Guy is in Nottingham Castle.
Five men dead, murdered. Sir Ivor, Nigel, Baldwin, Norbert.
You don't have to name them to me.
Our men can't even lay a hot iron in the eyes of a tax dodge without getting a black arrow in the throat. It's an outrage.
He's got to be stopped.
Have you tried to stop him?
Yes, but I couldn't find him.
What chance has anyone of finding him? Every village and woodcut is his friend.
Every runaway serf and Saxon thief in the Shire is joining him. I've sent spies in the forest to find out his hiding place, but he strikes and gone like a flash.
While you stay safely at home.
Do you question my valor? Am I not personally commanding a force that goes with Sir Guy and Lady Marion to Kenworth Castle to guard the tax money he is bringing back with my sword and my life? I only hope this murderer does come out of his hiding place.
You hope?
Gisborne picks up a quill from a table.
Enough of this wrangling. I'll lay this out for the heels when I get back.
An arrow has pierced a parchment on the table. Gisborne and his entourage stare at the table and at one another. Fish leisurely swim in still, shallow, crystal-clear water. A friar, more than a little overweight, snoozes on a bank propped against a broad tree trunk. Pale, bare, sandaled feet are exposed beneath a habit. He wears a helmet. Robin and his men approach.
Well, well. A curtal friar and a mighty fat one at that. He's the very man we need. I'll enlist him.
Careful, Robin.
That's the friar of Fountains Abbey. He's noted for...
That's right. Noted for his piety. Humble soul he is, with a heart as gentle as a lamb. Be easy with him, master.
Oh, I won't harm him. You stay here, lest you frighten him. Don't interfere.
But that fire's one of the most dangerous swordsmen in...
Robin, on his own, creeps up to the friar and takes a leg of cooked meat from a pot on the ground next to a flagon. A fishing rod is propped up on a rest. Robin shows off the joint of meat to his men, concealed behind foliage, and tucks in. He spies the fishing rod and puts down the meat. He picks up the rod and hauls the line out of the water. A small fish wriggles and squirms on the end of the line. He releases the hook, deftly places the fish in the friar's lap, picks up the meat again, and scurries behind the tree. The friar stirs, roused by the writhing fish. He picks it up.
Bless my soul, a miracle.
Robin guffaws. The friar notices the meat. The friar stands.
Robber, thief! Give me back my mutton joint.
Oh.
Robin draws his sword.
If you're a robber, you'll get nothing from me. I'm a curtal friar and vowed to poverty.
If this is poverty, I'll gladly share it with you.
That's what you are doing. Give me back my mutton joint.
Not so close, my ponderous one. I'd have a word with you.
Well?
I live in the forest with a few score good fellows who've everything in life save spiritual guidance. And no merit but one.
What's that?
We're outlaws. And since we're all newborn to the greenwood, we need someone to do our christenings for us. So, we've chosen you.
Not I. They've probably all got your taking ways.
Well, of course. But you'll love them, one and all. Now, friar, let's waste no more time. We'll take the shortcut across the stream. Come.
I'll not. I'm happy here.
You will come!
Robin whacks the friar's buttocks with the sword.
Now then, since I don't care to get my feet wet, you carry me across on your back.
On my back?
Then you must learn obedience.
He whacks him again and lobs the joint of meat to his men in the bushes.
Come on, bend.
The friar has bent low enough now to allow Robin to leap aboard, piggyback style. The friar, like a stubborn mule, reluctantly picks his way down a bank and is soon up to his waist in water.
Come on, faster! I'll have a gallop from you yet.
Heroically, Robin waves his sword to his appreciative men. Suddenly, the friar has ducked his head, sending Robin flying headfirst over his shoulder into the stream. The friar draws his sword and the two men square up to each other.
Come on, Sandman, why don't you give up? You can see I'm the better swordsman.
After I let a little air into your fellow, whistle a different tune.
They lock swords at close quarters. The friar pinches Robin's nose. The friar seems to sense victory. He raises his sword aloft and, like a demented executioner, flails wildly at Robin, who deftly moves aside. The friar picks himself up out of the water. Robin retrieves his sword for him and hands it back.
By our lady, you're the fairest swordsman I ever met.
So, must we go on then? I think we're even now, friar.
Even? Nay, you're still ahead of me by half a leg of mutton. So?
No, hold there, friar, enough. Come with me and I'll promise you the finest venison pasty and the biggest you ever ate. Beef, boar's head, casks of ale.
Robin pats the friar's belly. He beams.
You'd have said that before, you'd have saved us both a wedding. Come along, then.
You'll join us?
Aye, if only to convert you from your thieving ways.
You're Robin Hood, aren't you?
They join the men on the bank.
Hey, you county friar!
Robin! Aye, he's well named Friar Tuck. Take half the deer in Sherwood Forest to fill that cavern.
Little John pats Tuck's belly.
And twice that to fill your empty head.
Will, on horseback, approaches and dismounts.
Robin, I've just got word of... It's all right, he's one of us.
One of us? He looks like three of us.
Aye, and equal to a full dozen.
Friar Tuck, Will Scarlet. What's it, Will?
The guy of Gisborne has started his return to Nottingham. He's stopping by the way tonight.
Has he got the tax money with him?
A fortune.
When does he enter Sherwood?
Tomorrow.
Marvelous. Friar, we'll have to postpone that stuffing match I promised you, but it'll be double tomorrow. Come, back to town, man. Grab your appetite.
Lines of Robin's men emerge from forest into bright sunlight, with lengths of rope camouflaged with foliage trailing over their shoulders. Dozens of others scale the branches of a large tree.
Ready, men? Hey!
Much and another man on the ground throw a rope up to one of the branches. The upper branches of the tree are now a hive of activity as Robin's men prepare the camouflaged ropes. One of them skillfully climbs from the ground up a dangling rope. Much and Friar Tuck peer through the undergrowth.
See anything of them?
Not yet. Is everything ready?
They'll think they've got into a blooming hornet's nest.
A large procession wends its way between tall trees.
Here they come.
The procession snakes back seemingly hundreds of yards and proceeds at walking pace, headed by mounted armor-clad standard-bearers. Foot soldiers walk alongside a string of horse-drawn carts, some covered, some open, all fully laden. Riding three abreast, Marion is flanked by Sir Guy and the High Sheriff of Nottingham.
Hadn't we better send out flanking guards?
What for?
Well, this is Sherwood, you know, and Robin Hood.
You afraid of that gallows face?
Afraid? Certainly not, sir. But, it's here that he's boldest.
Oh, don't worry. We're more than enough to take care of him. Outlaws have no face to show themselves against armed troops.
Are you sure? I seem to remember.
Oh, yes, he jumps out of ambush in small parties. He wouldn't dare to attack us.
Well, you old rooster, what do you see from your perch up there?
Make ready. They're in two sections.
Did you see Sir Guy?
Sir Guy? He's leading the second. The treasure wagon is with him.
Foot soldiers at the rear of the first section cross a ford. Will Scarlet and another man watch from behind undergrowth. As the foot soldiers leave the ford, Marion, Gisborne and the High Sheriff stop their horses midstream. Will rushes to report to Robin.
Robin! The guy and the sheriff have stopped by the river. They're watering the horses. The advance guard's far ahead.
Good.
Little John, take your men and cut off the first section.
Aye.
You surround the advance guard.
Aye.
Personally.
Ready, men?
Aye!
Then stand ready for the signal.
Come, Will. Come on, let's welcome Sir Guy.
Gisborne and his entourage are still watering their horses. The advance guard is slowly moving along the trail under the huge tree, literally crawling with Robin's men. from the lower branches to the ground and confront the guard. Others leap into their midst and on top of the mounted soldiers. Another wave of Robin's men from higher branches simultaneously swings down on the camouflaged ropes, toppling soldiers from their horses. Meanwhile, Gisborne leads the second section away from the ford at a sedate pace, unaware of the ambush ahead of them, which continues at a frenzied pace. Marion, Gisborne and the High Sheriff look rested and unruffled. The High Sheriff spots the ruckus ahead. Too late, a second ambush awaits the second section, as Robin's strategy and tactics swing into action again. Seemingly a myriad of Robin's men leap and swing from treetop branches and set about Gisborne's guard. Another wave of men on the ground rush from the cover of bushes and wreak yet more havoc on Gisborne's men. Gisborne's men are subdued and surrounded. Robin swings high on a rope across the battle scene, landing on a lofty rock.
Welcome to Sherwood, my lady. What, Sir Guy? No greeting from you? Why, that's curious. I've often heard that you'd give me a warm welcome if ever we met again.
You're going to permit this insolence without even...
Fighting? I'm afraid he has no choice, my lady.
Well, I have, you impudent rascal. You're not going to hurt my lamb, my honeysuckle.
Be still, Bess.
Besides, we've nothing but the most peaceable intentions, have we, men?
We only want to smoke his pretty neck.
Let him hold him, he'll harm him much.
See? Well, let's away.
Robin's men shepherd Gisborne's soldiers and their carts through the forest. Robin and Will on foot lead the mounted horses of Marion and Gisborne respectively. Sir Guy, hand on hip, perhaps trying to look cool under duress, succeeds only in looking indignant and a touch embarrassed.
Don't bother to mark the way, Sir Guy. It'll take keener men than you've got to find our camp again.
You'll hang for this, all of you.
Hanging would be a small price to pay for the company of such a charming lady.
What can a Saxon hedge robber know of charm? Or ladies?
She means you.
Me? A hedge robber? You must tell me more about myself. You may have been misinformed.
Perhaps, but I don't find it interesting enough to bother about.
You just harmed one hair of our lady's head. That ugly face of yours will be walking about with no neck under it. Now, mind.
She's talking too much.
What are you staring at?
Well, I ain't never been out walking with a female before.
What female?
You.
Well, of all the impudence. I suppose you say that to all the women that tickle your fancy.
I've never tickled a woman's fancy before. No, I've never had a sweetheart.
You mean to say you never had one single sweetheart in all your life? You don't know what you missed, my lad. I've had the bands up 5 times.
In Robin's camp, there's a carnival atmosphere. A fatted calf roasts on one spit, a wild boar on another. Robin's men raid travelling chests and throw Norman clothing to grateful Saxons. The High Sheriff stands bare-legged in just a vest. Friar Tuck, dapper in Norman chainmail, surcoat and cloak, approaches him.
My lord, your robes for the feast. Hurry up, put them on.
I won't. You will.
Tuck waxes buttocks with a sword. Robin beams as he watches some of his men joyfully dancing. He's with Marion, who looks sullen.
To them, this is heaven. Silks for rags, kindness instead of riches, limitless food instead of hunger. Why, they're actually happy.
Are they?
Aren't you even a little pleased to see them enjoying themselves?
I think it's revolting.
Your life's been very sheltered, hasn't it, my lady?
He sits.
Too sheltered, perhaps. But if you could know these people as I know them, their infinite patience, loyalty, goodness.
Tuck, clutching clothing, heads for Sir Guy, looking naked in a vest and Little John.
Here is your raiment for the banquet.
When you've done with them, give them to Prince Charles.
To the tables, everybody, and stuff yourselves!
The throng apparently doesn't need a second invitation. Robin sits next to Marion.
May I serve you, my lady?
I'm afraid the company has spoiled my appetite.
Ah, misfortune. Now mine is excellent.
He breaks off a leg of fowl and ravenously gets stuck in, with a sideways look at Marion. Around them, the eating, drinking, and dancing continue apace. Another large salver of meat is brought to Robin.
Ah! A little mutton, my lady.
I said I am not hungry.
Why, so you did. I'd forgotten. Well, you will let me know if you regain your appetite, won't you?
Robin carves off a slice of mutton, stabs it with his knife, and scoffs it. Marion watches as he now picks up the entire leg of mutton and starts to chomp on that. Seemingly regaining her appetite, she picks up a much daintier leg of fowl and, albeit genteelly, nibbles away. She catches Robin looking at her and petulantly puts down the meat. Men carry wooden boxes between the crowded rows of long trestle tables and put them on a table in front of Robin and his special guests. Robin leaps on top of the top table.
I'd supposed with you that this Sir Guy of Gisborne was a scurvy fellow and a bitter enemy of ours. And yet, look, he provides us with this tasty supper. And is this the end of his beneficence? Why, no. For in his train today, he's brought us half a score of boxes full of jewels and silks and more, about 30,000 golden marks wrested from the Northern Shire.
You wouldn't dare.
Sit down!
Tuck pulls the guy back into his seat.
Now, some of you might think that our loyal host intended this treasure for the coffers of Prince John, instead of to ransom the king. And you'd be right. But a strange thing happened. A change of heart overtook him in the forest, and there it is, safe and sound.
Chest lids are opened to reveal golden marks aplenty, trinkets and silk. Robin sits.
You speak of loyalty.
Yes, why not?
I suppose you and your band of cutthroats intend to send this treasure to Richard. You wouldn't dream of keeping it yourselves.
He jumps on the table again.
Friends! What shall we do with this treasure? Divide it amongst ourselves?
Hold it for Richard! It belongs to the king!
Robin gives Marion a telling look and takes his seat beside her again.
Convinced?
I may have been hasty, but why you, a knight, should live here like an animal in the forest, robbing, killing, outlawing?
Are you really interested in learning why I turned outlaw? Or are you afraid of the truth? Or of me, perhaps?
I'm afraid of nothing, least of all of you.
Good. Then come with me.
She stays put.
Oh, so you are afraid.
With little option, she gets up and they leave the table. The High Sheriff nods at Sir Guy, suggesting that he follows them. Tuck thinks otherwise. Robin leads Marion to a grassy clearing in the forest.
Well, then.
Concern sweeps across Marion's face. A little girl cradles the hand of a man who lies lifeless on the ground, a tableau replicated all around them. Gaunt, poorly clad commoners look on despairingly.
Hardly an inspiring sight for such pretty eyes as yours, I'm sure. But these poor devils have all had their homes burnt. Their families beaten and starved to death by your tax gatherers.
Bless you, Robin. We'll never forget you.
Oh, well, thanks, Foster. Maybe be worthy, Robin.
You are, Mother, you are. Have you eaten well, friend?
Yes, thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Master.
They leave the enclave and stroll together.
I'm sorry to have to show you that. But once these poor people were all happy and contented. Just simple villagers who never harmed a soul. And now, tortured, eyes put out, tongue slit, ears hacked off. They come to me for protection against your Norman friends.
They stop and face each other.
You've taken Norman lives.
Yes, those that deserved it. Cruel and unjust.
You're a strange man.
Strange? Because I can feel for beaten, helpless people?
No, you're strange because you want to do something about it. You're willing to defy Sir Guy, even Prince John himself, to risk your own life. And one of those men was a Norman.
Norman or Saxon? What's that matter? It's injustice I hate, not the Normans.
But it's lost you your rank, your lands. It's made you a hunted outlaw when you might have lived in comfort and security. What's your reward for all this?
Reward? Just don't understand, dear.
She puts a hand on his.
I'm sorry. I do begin to see. A little now.
If you do, then that's reward enough.
Slowly, he raises her hand and tenderly kisses her pale, slender fingers. For a brief moment, they look into each other's eyes. Then, hands clasped, they continue in silence back to the camp. Sir Guy is waiting for them with the High Sheriff in close attendance.
Now that you've robbed us and had your fill of insulting us, we wish to leave. Come, Lady Marion.
My own men will escort my lady. But before you take leave of her, it might be as well if you thanked her for saving your life.
My life?
Do you think you would have left this forest alive if it hadn't been for her presence here?
Peter, Harold.
Yes, Walter.
Take six men and guide our loyal host and his nervous friend to the Nottingham Road.
But our horses, our clothes.
You return to Nottingham as you are, on foot. This Sir Guy will at least be a lesson to you in humility, if not in mercy. The rest of your people will be returned tomorrow.
But the Lady Marion.
You'd best be started before I have a change of mind.
Sir Guy gives Robin a look.
I think we'd better go.
The High Sheriff tugs Gisborne's sleeve, and off they go.
Now, my lady. Friar Tuck, Little John.
Playfully, Little John whacks Tuck on the buttocks. They go to Robin.
Take the Lady Marion as far as the Abbey of the Black Canons. Then tomorrow the bishop can give her escort the rest of the way.
Oh, master, may I go too?
Your permission, my lady?
Marion nods. Much offers an arm to Bess, her consort, who seems tickled pink despite her earlier bravado. Robin leads Marion's horse to the edge of the camp. He looks up at her earnestly.
Goodbye, my lady.
Goodbye.
She smiles sweetly at him and canters away. He raises an arm in farewell as she turns and cheerily waves too.
Everything you had collected?
Every silver penny.
And you two nincompoops sat there and let him do it?
Oh, we resisted as well as we could.
Where are your wounds? Your bruises? And where are your men?
What did your highness expect? Was the Lady Marion in our company and Locksley's men outnumbering us 3-1?
And not an arrow wound to divide among the lot of them, I suppose. And more than 30,000 marks in the hands of that wolf's head. That fellow's got to be taken. Understand?
And how does your highness suggest that he be taken? If I may be so bold as to inquire.
Mind your words, Gisborne. You're fortunate not to be paying for this with your head.
Your Highness, I could muster an army and surround Sherwood.
You couldn't capture him.
You'll mind
you
your
couldn't
words,
capture
Gisborne.
Him if you sat in your lap shooting arrows at a crow.
Arrows? Arrows? He said shooting arrows at a crow.
Take that silly-looking bonnet off.
That stirs something in my mind. Listen to me, Your Highness. Perhaps we can't take him by force. He's too well protected. No Sherwood's hidden paths. Too well, but...
But what?
We'll outwit him. We'll hold an archery tournament.
Archery And have him fly in on the end of one of his own arrows? That's marvellous.
Now, wait a minute. He's the finest archer in the North. Do you think he'll forego the pleasure of shooting against the archers of all England? We'll give a prize, say, of a golden arrow.
And ask him to risk his neck for that?
That won't be the only bait with the Lady Marion presenting the arrow herself.
What do you mean?
When they came out of the forest, she seemed very friendly. And didn't you notice how his eyes never left her?
Yes, yes, I noticed.
Well then, how do we get word to him?
Get word to Robin, who has an eye in every bush and ears in every wall.
But even if he comes, won't he be disguised?
Whether he be dressed as priest or beggar, knight or palmer, what disguise can conceal the finest archer in England? The man who wins the golden arrow will be Robin Hood.
Will you take that bonnet off?
He flings it to the ground. In glorious sunshine, trumpeters fanfare the arrival of a golden arrow to a large tournament ground. The arrow rests on a royal blue golden tasseled cushion, borne by a claret and blue clad rider atop a chestnut horse in heraldic coat. A brigade of mounted armor clad men and foot soldiers escort the arrow, which, to the cheers of a huge crowd, is paraded with much pageantry in front of a royal grandstand. Seated on ornate thrones, Prince John is flanked by Marion with Bess, and Gisborne and the High Sheriff, now wearing their usual finery again.
I hope our little golden hook will catch the fish.
You hope?
Oh, it will, if he's here.
If he's not, we'll stick your head upon the target and shoot at that.
Are your men sure of their orders?
Oh, yes, sir. They're stationed all round the field. Even a worm couldn't get through.
You talk as if this were a trap.
Oh, no, my dear. Just a precaution in case the Saxons create a disturbance.
By orders of His Highness Prince John, the champion archers of Sir Guy and the Knights will be limited to 3 flights of arrows for the eliminations. The winning team will meet all comers.
The herald gallops away. The prince raises a ceremonial mace, and the referee raises a sword. The contest begins. Arrows rain down on five separate targets. Marion starts.
No, it's a trap. Golden arrow from the lady herself.
They've cooked up this whole thing just to take you.
Oh, well, what of it?
You know what'll happen if they do.
Where's your sporting blood? Sir Guy accepted our invitation. We'd be rude not to accept his.
Be ruder to get your neck stretched.
There you are. My band getting fat and overfed. Where's your love of fight, risk, adventure?
Well, since our friend seems to have gone a little mad, I'll have to see him through.
We'll have to see him through.
Marion shows a flicker of concern as Robin, wearing a hat on top of a cowl, moves closer through the crowd. The prince and Sir Guy, who smile contentedly, seem to have spotted Robin too.
Prepare final flight!
Does my lady find it interesting? Lady Marion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I asked if you found it interesting.
Yes, very. They're splendid archers.
You'll find it much more interesting later on.
The winning team will compete as individuals. Captain Philip of Arras, Elwin the Welshman, Matt of Sleaford. They now challenge all comers.
The men who shoot against that lot will have to have the eyes of a falcon.
Aye, they're far too good for me. I'm not shooting today.
Robin taps the helmet of a soldier to let him through. Apprehension clouds Marion's exquisite, pale porcelain face. Other all-comers make their way to the shooting range. Little John is among them. Robin prepares to fire his first arrow. He looks towards the grandstand. Marion follows the line of the arrow and looks back at Robin. Marshals retrieve all spent arrows from the targets. Another volley of arrows is sent winging towards the targets. Marshals remove the other targets. In the semis, three arrows have been shot by the remaining four contestants.
Matt of Sleaford, out! Owen the Welshman, out!
The losing semi-finalists slope off. Robin looks to the grandstand.
Ah, the tall tinker.
How is the time, Your Highness?
Not so hasty, Sir Guy. I'm enjoying myself. Let them finish the match.
But he couldn't have your men close in if you wish.
Marion looks fearful as Gisborne gives the nod.
Look. Yeah, they're closing in. I hope Robin sees them.
Robin apparently has clocked it. Cautiously, he looks around him as groups of Gisborne's men swiftly move among the crowd. The Bishop of the Black Canons leans across Bess and Marion.
I must commend Your Highness for the subtlety of your scheme.
The Prince acknowledges the compliment and turns to Gisborne, who indulges the High Sheriff. Robin takes aim.
Very good. Would you say you'd seen that tall fellow before?
And if I had, what interest could a tinker have for me?
Philip of Arras shoots next. Die! You'll be allowed another flight.
The target's a deal too close. Can we have it removed to a fit distance for men to shoot at?
Philip of Arras nods to the referee.
Another 20 paces!
The target is moved back.
If your archer captain wins at that distance, I'll give you 1,000 gold marks for it.
Win or lose, I'll give him to Your Highness. For a favor, why did you let me deal with this wolf's head in my own way?
Done. I'm leaving for Norwich immediately after the tournament anyway, so you may do what you please with him.
Philip of Arras shoots.
Why, he can't win now. No living man could beat that shot. I'll wager 100 marks on Philip of Arras.
Sir Guy gives the High Sheriff a look, who turns away, apparently realizing the folly of his statement. Robin takes aim.
He split Philip's arrow. The finger wins, he wins.
As Philip's split arrow quivers on the target, there are gasps of astonishment in the grandstand. Robin is surrounded by supporters and cheered shoulder high to the grandstand. Marion breathes deeply. Robin bows.
What is your name, Archer?
Godfrey of Sherwood, Your Highness.
How is it that a tinker learns so well the use of arms?
Even a peaceful tinker must protect himself these days, Your Highness. Treachery and other unpleasant things.
It's earned you more than you bargained for today.
He stands.
I pronounce you Champion Archer of England, and from the gracious hand of Lady Marion Fitzwalter, you receive your reward.
With trepidation, Marion stands and takes the golden arrow from the golden tasseled cushion.
Advance.
Robin quickly glances around and steps onto the grandstand's apron as the Prince and Marion move forward. Robin bows to an awkward-looking Marion as others from the royal party move forward.
Here is your prize, Sir Archer.
It's indeed an honor to receive it from the hands of so beautiful a lady.
How is it that you didn't use a black arrow today?
That's my court of last resort, Sir Guy. Its verdict is always final.
Arrest this man!
Robin feigns to retreat into the crowd, but instead brushes aside Sir Guy and darts to the back of the grandstand, where he fights his way past courtiers and a soldier. He takes stock of the tournament ground and sees foot soldiers advancing on one side and mounted soldiers on another. Confusion reigns in the grandstand. He fights his way to the front again, jumps on a balustrade and leaps onto a horse, knocking its rider to the ground. Two other mounted soldiers close off his escape route. One of them tackles him to the ground, where he's restrained by foot soldiers. Other soldiers struggle to quell crowd trouble, perhaps from Robin's men and supporters. Robin is carted before a pompous Sir Guy, who affects a withering look before landing a hefty backhander across his face.
That's a good idea.
The High Sheriff has a pop, but Robin boots him.
You're a very rash young man. And I'm sorry I can't be in Nottingham to see what Gisborne has in store for you. It'll be something special, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Sorry I underestimated you, Sir Guy. Next time, perhaps...
There'll be no next time. Take him away.
Robin is led away by Sir Guy's men. Marion looks forlorn. The crowd heckles the soldiers as Robin is escorted through the tournament ground. Now he's marched into Nottingham Castle's Great Hall for an audience with Sir Guy and the High Sheriff. Marion, surrounded by handmaidens, sits to one side of Sir Guy's dais. Many dignitaries watch the proceedings, which are heavily guarded. Sir Guy reads from a parchment.
Robin of Locksley, known to some as the outlaw Robin Hood, after a fair trial in which you were not able to produce one witness in your behalf, you have been found guilty of outlawry, theft, murder, abduction, false pretenses, contempt of the crown, poaching in the royal forests, and high treason.
Haven't you forgotten a count or two? Surely it's a crime under the noble Prince John to love one's country, to protect serfs from injustice and be loyal to one's king.
If I could add anything to the charges against you, I would most gladly do so. It is the sentence of this tribunal that on the morrow at high noon you be taken to the town square of Nottingham and there hanged by the neck until you are dead.
He looked at Marion.
There may be some who will regret that a man of your peculiar talents should be cut off so early in life, but personally...
You think the sentence extremely lenient? Thank you.
Tetchily, Sir Guy signals that Robin should be taken away. Guards lead him past Marion, who watches silently with furrowed brow. Shadows play on dungeon steps as guards hurtle Robin to the floor below. A guard raises a dazed Robin into a sitting position and fastens his shackles to a wall. A sorrowful Marion absently picks at the leaves of foliage growing outside a castle window. Restlessly, she moves from the window and stands in front of an ingle nook and a blazing fire. Bess sits nearby, rolling yarn into balls.
What's troubling you, my lady? Is it the outlaw?
Yes. I hate to see a human being trapped and... Bess,
You know where his men may be found, don't you?
Why, my lady, how should I know?
Now, don't put me off. That little man who liked you, you've been seeing him, haven't you?
Yes, my lady.
Tell me where.
You want to send a message?
To his men, yes.
Oh, well, my lady, I have had a nip of ale of a night, just now and again, at a place in the town, and I won't deny as some of the others were there.
Where was it? Oh, Bess, please tell me.
It was a tavern, my lady. The Saracen's Head in Pilgrim Court. The landlord's name is Humility Prince.
Humility Prince?
Yes, and you knock at the door and say a Locksley.
A Locksley?
Yes, but...
Get me a cloak, quickly.
Oh, yes, my lady.
Will Scarlet is in a large tavern with many of Robin's men.
But men, there must be some way.
Well, if we had to, couldn't we storm the place?
Why, you'd need an army with a battering ram to even dent it.
Aye, he'll be hanged for sure.
Maybe Little John's right. Perhaps we should.
A grey-haired man slides open a hatch door. The hatch door is closed, the tavern door is unlocked, and Marion steps into the foyer. She waits for the grey-haired man to announce her.
What is it, Prin?
A lady, sir. The Lady Marion.
What? It's a trap, Will. Watch those windows.
She has the password, all right.
Is she alone?
Yes, sir.
Fetch her in.
Humility Prim does Will's bidding. Marion is now surrounded by tight security. The landlord invites her in. The men appear as wary of her as she is of them. She looks among them for a familiar face and spots Will. She approaches him.
What do you want, milady?
I want to help him.
How did you find us here?
Never mind that now.
She looks around her.
Please don't stand there staring. Tell me what I can do.
Don't trust her. It's another Norman trick.
Would I come here alone if it were a trap? What's to prevent your keeping me here and killing me if... Oh, is there no one here with sense enough to see?
One moment.
Friar Tuck comes to her.
We have to make sure, my child. You're a good daughter of the church.
She nods.
You swear by Our Lady that you want to help Robin?
I swear, good father.
Have you thought of a way?
Yes.
Can you get us into the castle?
That would do no good. He's too heavily guarded. But I thought of another way. Listen to me.
In bright sunshine, two hooded men prepare gallows in the center of a town square. One of the men climbs a ladder to the top of the gallows. A large crowd has gathered under the watchful eye of many soldiers. On one side of the square, a canopied grandstand is decked out in heraldic paraphernalia and bunting. Marion sits between Gisborne and the High Sheriff.
This is a rare treat, isn't it, milady?
Yes, isn't it?
Locksley out of the way, we'll quickly stamp out the rest.
Won't it be a pleasant surprise for Prince John when he returns?
Gisborne turns to Marion.
And to think that I was once foolish enough to believe that you rather liked him. Your hand is trembling.
Attention is drawn to a corner of the square. An open horse-drawn cart appears with a mounted escort to the front and rear. Robin stands in the cart with his hands manacled behind his back. Marion stares, holding her emotions in check. Robin casts his eyes about, checking for familiar faces in the crowd.
We Saxons won't forget your arm! Get up!
The cart momentarily stops in front of the grandstand. Robin snatches a look at Marion. Gisborne checks for any betrayal of emotion from her. Breathing deeply, she stares implacably at Robin.
Take it to the gallows!
The cart moves off again. Soldiers use strong-arm tactics to keep a fractious crowd from breaching their cordon. The cart draws alongside the base of the timber-framed gallows. Robin is taken from the cart and manhandled up wooden steps, where he's received by one of the hooded hangmen. There's a glint of triumphalism in Gisborne's eyes. From the raised platform next to a dangling noose, Robin quickly scans the crowd and spots his men in strategic positions, much with Scarlet, Friar Tuck, and Little John, among others. They exchange surreptitious nods, winks, and smiles. Robin glances at Marion as the noose is checked.
He'll not be so insolent when they've stretched his neck.
Will whispers to an archer.
Get ready.
A hangman raises the noose above Robin's head. The archer takes aim. A mounted guard is felled. A hangman is felled. He and his ladder fall on guards. Robin jumps from the platform onto a riderless horse and, with some of his men now mounted, bolts through the square. Amidst all-round confusion, Gisborne's men are unable to stop him and he makes good his escape. Marion looks on, elated. A troop of mounted soldiers, now organized into a posse, thunders through the square and gives chase. Robin and a handful of men race through the town past a horse-drawn cart. Tuck, driving the cart, maneuvers it to straddle the street. Gisborne's men tear round a corner and crash into the cart. Just inside the city gate, guards are ambushed by Robin's men. From the back of a cart, water is thrown over them. Men leap from the cart, wrestle the guards to the ground, and hastily frog march them away. Robin arrives at the gate.
Here we are,
his men gallop under a portcullis. Robin stops, looks at the lifting gear, and has an idea. Using his sword, he hacks at a rope between winch and windlass. It severs. He clings to the rope and is hauled upwards by the weight of the portcullis as it plummets to the ground. He clambers onto battlements on the city side as his men, who have come back to look for him, arrive outside the now closed portcullis.
Robin, where are you?
Here I am. Stand by.
He climbs to a higher battlement and, still holding the rope, clambers over a merlon as Gisborne's pursuing posse gets ever closer. Robin abseils down an outside wall and drops to the ground. He jumps aboard his waiting horse, which had bolted in the nick of time under the falling portcullis. Gisborne's posse rein in their horses, thwarted, as they reach the closed portcullis, but in time to see Robin and his men disappear over a hillock in a cloud of dust. Under cover of darkness, a shadowy caped figure stealthily climbs a vine on an exterior stone wall and steps onto the wide ledge of a large window.
He is different from anyone I've ever known. He's brave and he's reckless, and yet he's gentle and kind. He's not brutal like... Tell me, when you are in love, is it hard to think of anybody but one person?
Yes, indeed, m'lady, and sometimes there's a bit of trouble sleeping.
I know, but it's a nice kind of not sleeping.
Yes, and it affects your appetite, too. Not that I've noticed it's done that to you, except when he was in the dungeon waiting to be hanged.
And does it make you want to be with him all the time?
Yes. And when he's with you, your leg's as weak as water. And tell me, m'lady, when he looks at you, do you feel a kind of pricky feeling like goosey pimples running all up and down your spine? Then there's not a doubt of it.
Doubt of what?
You're in love.
They leap up and turn. A shadowy figure emerges.
What do you want?
The man takes off his hood.
Robin.
I must say.
Keep quiet, Bess. Are you completely mad? Why did you come here?
To see you.
But don't you realize that...
My men told me what you did for me, so I've come to thank you. And after what I couldn't help overhearing about that prickly feeling, I'm very glad I did come.
That was a game. Now, you've got to go at once.
A game, eh? Well, couldn't I join in?
He moves to Bess.
Of course, I probably wouldn't be as good at it as this pretty young girl. But I could do my best.
Bess, will you leave us? Please.
Seemingly crestfallen, Bess makes to leave, but turns, smiles a knowing smile, affects an exaggerated curtsy, and excitedly scampers away. Robin scratches his chin.
Now, let's see. Where does this game begin? Oh, I know. We'll start where you're in love with me. You are, aren't you? Because I am with you. Terribly. That's why I came. I had to see you.
You must go at once. And I don't love you.
Oh. You sure?
Yes.
Very well, then. I'll go.
He turns and climbs onto the sill.
Rather unfriendly of you, exposing me to my enemies like this.
He's clinging to the vine.
There's a fat old captain of the guard down there with bow legs. If I drop on him, that'll bend him outwards. Ah, there's an archer. No, he's too thin. I might miss him altogether.
Robin.
The very thing. 5 men-at-arms talking in a group. They'll break the fall beautifully. Goodbye, my lady.
Robin.
Yes?
Please.
Then you do love me, don't you? Don't you?
You know I do.
Well, that's different.
He climbs back onto the sill, jumps down inside, and helps a beaming, glowing Marion down from the sill. Briefly, they look into each other's eyes and kiss passionately.
You know you're very impudent.
Me?
You are. And when my rear guardian, King Richard, finds out about your being in love with me...
I know. He'll make me Court Jester.
You won't. He'll stick your funny head on London Gate.
And a very fine decoration it'll be, my bold Norman beauty.
I'm not bold.
Well, you're Norman. Well, I don't hold that against you. And you are a beauty. You're the most beautiful.
And you're leaving here at once. Please, darling, every minute you're here, you're in danger.
I'll go. Marion, will you come with me?
To Sherwood?
I've nothing to offer you but a life of hardship and danger. But we'd be together.
Robin, dear.
I know. It's asking a lot. But who knows how long it'll be before Richard returns. If I tuck and marry us. Will you?
Because I love you, Robin, I'd come. Even the danger would mean nothing if you were with me.
Then you will.
No, listen to me, darling. You remember that day in Sherwood Forest? I realized then, for the first time, that what you were doing was right, and that we were wrong. Now, let me finish. You taught me then that England is bigger than just Normans and Saxons fighting and hating each other. That it belongs to all of us to live peacefully together, loyal only to Richard and to England.
Darling, you could help.
I could help much more by watching for treachery here and leaving you free to protect Richard's people until he returns. Now do you see why you have to go back to your men alone?
With eyes downcast, Robin nods. He looks at her and they kiss again. They hear footsteps outside Marion's room. Unseen by Robin and Marion, Gisborne stops outside her door. He waits, listens, and walks away.
Go now, quickly, dearest.
They look at each other lingeringly.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
They kiss. Robin pulls the hood of his cape over his head, climbs onto the sill and onto the vine. He steals one last tender kiss from Marion.
Goodbye, my love.
Goodbye.
Cautiously, he lowers himself down the vine as Marion watches from above, smiling contentedly. A wooden sign reads Kent Road Tavern. Inside, next to an inglenook, two men pull a roasted joint of meat from a spit. One of them puts the meat in a tureen and takes it to five hooded men at a table.
You gentlemen have travelled far?
Well, yes, quite a distance.
I'm sorry I can't give you better food.
He approaches the table.
There's little left to us these days.
Well, this will be enough.
The inn at Luton was well supplied. How is that?
Ah, that's a Norman inn.
The men nod to one another.
John, I'll have this rascal's ears no matter how. Dares to rob me. Stripped my person of jewels. What's this country coming to when even a high churchman can't travel to the forest in safety?
Who's he?
The bishop with the black cannons.
Do you wish to go on after dinner, Your Grace?
No, we can't reach the abbey tonight. I'll stay here. Tend to the horses.
Yes, Your Grace.
Bring food to us.
Yes, Your Grace, at once.
No longer safe to journey anywhere. Robbers at every turn of the road.
What happened, Your Grace?
I just told you. We've been robbed. But a chance to defend ourselves. They burst on us from ambush.
Who did?
Why, Robin Hood, of course. There's no other rascal with impudence enough.
Robin Hood again, sire.
The bishop seems to register the significance of the word sire.
Heard of him, then?
Oh, he seems well known hereabouts.
Oh, then you're strange to the shire.
More or less.
What might be your names, gentlemen?
Well, they're hardly important enough to deserve the interest of your grace. Landlord, where's our ale?
Aye, sir.
You gentlemen be remaining here tonight?
We hadn't decided, Your Grace. What would you advise?
Well, there's so much danger on the road. You'd be far safer here.
We will then, since we've had the added pleasure of your company.
Well, I should really like to stay, but I recollected some urgent affairs at my abbey. Some other time, or perhaps you gentlemen would break your journey and sup with me tomorrow.
Your Grace is too kind.
Then I bid you good evening, gentlemen, and Godspeed you in the morning.
Thank you. Good night.
The bishop looks back at the five men as he leaves. The man addressed as sire gets up.
Window.
The men go to the window and see the bishop with an ear pressed against the door.
Are their beds prepared, landlord? Let's to sleep, then.
I'm tired.
The bishop seems to have heard what he wants to hear and does now leave.
I'm afraid you suspect, sire.
I fear so.
His grace is a Norman. Did you see the fear on the landlord's face when he came in?
I've seen it in the faces of thousands since we returned. I ought never to have left England.
I noticed, though, that when Robin Hood's name is mentioned,
yes, the mysterious outlaw whom we have sought.
In vain. However, the bishop didn't have any difficulty meeting him. Which gives me an idea.
At Nottingham Castle.
And you're sure it was Richard?
No doubt of it, Your Highness.
How like my dear brother this is.
He couldn't rot in Durenstein like any decent man.
Marion appears unnoticed.
But Richard has no army.
No, Your Highness.
If he had, we should have heard of it. If my brother happened to be killed,
England would have a new king.
But that would be murder.
I'll have no part. You'll do as you're told. And that's very simple. Keep your mouth closed.
Your Highness, I beg of you.
How long will you retain your abbey if Richard survives to find out what you've been up to these years he's been away?
Rebuked, the bishop sits, as does the prince.
Go on, Gisborne. Who's to,
Dickon, Your Highness, was a knight before your brother hacked off his spurs over some little mischance. There's nothing he wouldn't do for a king who'd restore him to rank.
The prince summons Dickon, standing nearby.
You don't love my brother, I hear.
I have little reason to, Your Highness.
You know this tavern?
Yes.
If Richard dies...
Sir Dickon Malbate's name reappears on the roll of English knights. Am I not right, Your Highness?
With the manor and estate of Robin of Locksley to support his rank.
When shall I start, Your Highness?
Immediately. How many men will you need?
I shall do it better alone, Your Highness.
The sooner you're crowned king,
the better for my friends. You're a clever fellow, Gisborne.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
He turns to the bishop.
Return to your abbey. Make preparations to proclaim me king here in Nottingham the day after tomorrow.
Distracted, the three men turn as one to see Marion disappearing round a corner. They hurry to the spot where she disappeared and pause, each deep in their own thoughts.
Do you suppose she heard?
I don't know.
They turn and silently walk back whence they came. Marion is in her chamber with Bess writing with a quill.
Robin's got to find King Richard at once and warn him. Take this note to Mudge at Saracen's Head.
Gisborne arrives with armed guards outside Marion's door. Marion and Bess look at the door, then at each other. Bess disappears with the writing board. Marion stands clutching the parchment, wondering what to do with it. She spies an ornate box on a table and quickly puts the parchment in it. The lid closes as Gisborne enters.
My lady's hearing is a little defective tonight.
When you knock at a lady's door as if it were a tavern, you deserve to wait.
You seem upset.
Upset? Why should I be?
Oh, come now, my dear Lady Marion. You've played the innocent long enough. Let's be frank with one another.
I don't see the need.
You're very charming, Lady Marion, but not exactly clever. For instance, you couldn't possibly have failed to overhear what Prince John and I were talking about just now. Oh, no. Please don't trouble to deny it. And your first thought as Richard's loyal ward was to warn him, Am I not right?
Well, how could I warn Richard?
How did Locksley and his men arrange his escape from hanging after the archery match? Someone here in the castle must have got word to him.
That's ridiculous.
When Richard's in danger, what more natural than that you should try to warn him through Locksley? And you do intend to warn him, don't you?
His hand is on the box.
Don't you?
No.
He opens the lid and snatches the parchment. He reads it.
Well, if that's true, perhaps you'd explain before Prince John and the Court of Execution the meaning of this. Guard!
Bess peeps round a corner as the guards march in and stand in front of Marion.
Escort my Lady Marion to the Great Hall.
With a look of defiance and perhaps hatred, Marion marches out with the guards, followed by Gisborne. Bess leaves her hiding place, makes sure the coast is clear, throws a cloak over her shoulders, and scurries to the open door. She looks down the hall in time to see the tail end of the escort disappear round a corner. She hurries after them to the same corner, checks that all is clear, and scuttles off.
Not only has she consorted with this Saxon rebel, found guilty of outlawry, theft, murder, abduction, and high treason, but she has betrayed her own Norman people. Are you not ashamed, my Lady Marion?
Yes, I am, bitterly. But it's a shame that I'm a Norman, after seeing the things my fellow countrymen have done to England. At first, I wouldn't believe. Because I was a Norman, I wouldn't let myself believe that the horrors you inflicted on the Saxons weren't just and right. I know now why you tried so hard to kill this outlaw whom you despised. It's because he was the one man in England who protected the helpless against a lot of beasts who were drunk on human blood. And now you intend to murder your own brother.
You'll be sorry you interfered.
Sorry? I'd do it again if you killed me for it.
Prophetic speech, my lady. For that is exactly what is going to happen to you.
You wouldn't dare. I'm the royal ward of King Richard. And no one but the king himself has the right to condemn me to death.
You are quite right, my dear. And it shall be a king who will order your execution for high treason exactly 48 hours from now. Take her away.
Bess is with much and humility prim at the Saracen's head.
Have you got it all in your stupid head now?
Oh, of course I have.
Well, give Robin the old message exactly like I told it to you.
Bess, where was Dickens supposed to find King Richard?
Oh, never mind him. What do I care about your kings and thrones and such? Robin has got to do something to save my baby.
Come on, old girl. Robin will look after her all right. Where's Dickens heading for?
Kent Road Tavern.
Kent Road Tavern? You can save 3 miles and cut him off through low wood.
Come on, lass. Give us a kiss and wish me luck.
He gets a quick peck.
Hurry up and take your ugly face out of here.
And a slap.
Oh, you will be careful, won't you?
Of course I will.
In dappled sunlight, Much steps onto the foot of a broad, sturdy bough that arches over a stream from one side to the other. He stops and listens. A mounted soldier gallops through undergrowth. Much scampers up the bough and takes cover behind leafy branches high above the stream. Much ducks as the soldier heads for the stream. The soldier lets the horse settle for a drink midstream, knee-deep and directly under Much, who suddenly leaps from the bough. He knocks the soldier into the water. They thrash about. The soldier is first to his feet and thrusts Much backwards into the stream. They both draw knives. Furiously, they slash at each other. Much is thrown into the water again. The horse bolts. Much gets to his feet. They get into a clinch, each holding the other's knife hand. Much has the upper hand, now the soldier, who sends Much tumbling backwards into a bush at the water's edge. Much raises his knife to strike. Desperately, the soldier grips his knife hand. A small group of hooded horsemen saunters through a forest glade. Robin lounges on a bough that stretches high above them across their path.
Greetings, Sir Abbot.
Cheekily, with a lavish gesture of civility, he sweeps an arm through the air as if bending the knee, swings on the bough and drops to the ground. Sir Abbot smiles at Robin's audacity and wit.
You've travelled far this morning?
Too far to be patient of delay now.
So? Perhaps it's the weight of your purse that wearies you. Now I can remedy that. You hand it to me, and if it weighs more than a just amount, then I'll share it with those who have less. Come.
You think I hand my purse to every rough lout who asks for it?
Robin lifts an arm. A swarm of Robin's men immediately appears from the surrounding bushes.
See, Sir Abbot? But we're only poor outlaws, with nothing to eat but the king's deer, while you have property, rents, and silver. So,
your purse. But I've travelled far in the king's business. The silver pennies I have left in my purse equal no more than 60 marks.
What? Are you friendly to our good King Richard?
I love no man better. Why, that speech, Sir Abbot, you save half your money. Give me but 30 marks for the poor, and the rest you may keep and welcome.
Then I can go free?
Any friend of Richard's is free of this forest. Would you honor us by sharing meat with us?
Gladly. Then come.
Robin and Little John, on foot, lead Sir Abbot's horse through the sunny sylvan setting.
Hello, Sir Roscoe. Tell me, who are you?
I'm called Robin Hood.
Seems I've heard of you.
Nothing good, I hope.
Ah, now I remember. How is your loyalty to Richard set on a killer of knights, a poacher of the king's deer, and an outlaw?
Those I killed died for misusing the trust that Richard left. And the worst rogue of these is the king's own brother.
Ah, then you blame Prince John.
No, I blame Richard. His task was here at home, defending his own people instead of deserting him to fight in foreign lands.
What, you condemn holy crusades?
Aye, I'll condemn anything that leaves the task of holding England for Richard to outlaws like me.
Sir Abbot smiles an avuncular smile. Elsewhere, Will Scarlet reins in his horse as he spots a figure lying in grass, feebly trying to raise an arm.
Much!
He dismounts and rushes to kneel beside the injured Much, who lies on his side.
Much, what's happened to you?
Take me to Robin, quick!
Will lifts him up and carries him to the horse. Will speeds through the forest with Much and hurdles a camouflaged entrance into Robin's camp, where apparently Robin, his men, and his guests have just arrived. Robin helps Much from the horse and settles him on a boulder.
Much, what is it? What's happened?
King Richard's in England, in Sherwood.
What?
Yes, Prince John sent Dickon to Kent Road Tavern last night to kill the king.
Will, take 50 men at once. Go to the Kent
no
Road
need,
Tavern.
No need, master, no need. I headed Dickon off. He ain't gonna murder no one no more.
But the king, where is he?
I don't know, master.
Men, Richard must be found. He must be found and brought here for safety. Little John, take a party and scour the countryside. Fry a tuck into the town. Will, search every inn and cottage. Don't rest, any of you, day or night until he's found. Understand?
You don't need to search for Richard, Robin. He's in good hands. The best in England.
What do you mean? Where is he? Here.
Sir Abbot takes off his abbot's cowl and habit, revealing chainmail and three golden lions emblazoned on a scarlet surcoat. Robin sinks to his knees in obeisance, as do his men. The king's travelling companions, now in chainmail and surcoats, bearing the cross of St. George, gather round.
All these have remained loyal. Rise, Sir Robin. Rise, men of Sherwood.
Sire, Prince John's calling Bishop of Black Canons to proclaim him king in Nottingham tomorrow.
How'd you learn this?
Lady Marian, she overheard. They've taken her for treason. She's been condemned to the block for warning us.
He wouldn't dare to execute the king's ward.
You underestimate him, sire. If we're to save her and your throne, we've got to act now.
How? By attacking Nottingham Castle? Without an army, it'd be much too strong. Your men would be killed uselessly.
The Bishop of the Black Canons is performing the ceremony tomorrow. Suppose we visit him at his abbey tonight and persuade him to suggest a way.
In bright sunlight, a procession of clerics wends its way up the winding approaches to Nottingham Castle. Most of the marchers wear black habits and cowls. A few wear white smocks and swing incense. At the front is a trio resplendent in regalia denoting the office of bishop. A knife prods one of them in the back.
Brace up. Smile.
The Bishop of the Black Canons forces a smile.
Wider.
He gets another prod.
Still sure it wasn't you who warned my brother I was in England?
I sir, believe me. Your
Grace. Smile.
He smiles.
You'll sweat the lard out of that fat carcass of yours before this day's over, my pudgy friend.
And I hope some Norman sword whittles you down to size.
From castle battlements, two Norman soldiers watch the procession's sedate progress, as do townsfolk from below, gathering at the foot of the castle's approaches.
O Lord, we beseech thee, sanctify this thy servant, our royal Prince John. Enrich his noble heart. Bestow upon him all princely virtues. Amen.
No news of Richard?
No, none, Your Highness.
Then Dickon must have...
Sir Dickon, Your Highness.
A dramatic pause.
Of course.
News of the ecclesiastic's arrival seems to have reached them.
We are ready for the ceremony, Your Majesty.
The procession heads under a portcullis as Marian, standing with clasped hands, beseechingly looks upwards through the bars of her dungeon cell. In the great hall, under wall-mounted royal shield and ceremonial standards, trumpeters raise their instruments. Clerics file into the great hall. First an abbot bearing a ceremonial staff, then a pair with hoisted iconic standards, followed by the acolytes in white smocks, dispensing incense. Next the trio in the robes and mitres of the bishopric. Immediately behind a nervous-looking bishop, Robin and King Richard, bearing staffs and wearing black habits and cowls, lead a long line of similarly clad clerics, all walking two abreast and bearing staffs. These peel off and thread themselves in single lines between the serried ranks of soldiers and assembled dignitaries. Robin's eyes dart about, taking stock. He remains with Will and the king behind the bishop, who has stopped to one side of a royal dais, on which sits an empty throne. Close by are Friar Tuck, Much and Little John, who winks at Much. Solemnly and in silence, the coronation regalia are slowly marched in on tasseled cushions. The sovereign's orb, the crown, the royal mace. Then follow the sombre-faced High Sheriff, Sir Guy and Prince John. The prince sits on the throne, flanked by Gisborne and the High Sheriff.
Remember.
Robin has a quiet word in the bishop's ear before he steps forward to officiate, shadowed by Robin, the King and Will.
By what authority do you, John Lackland, Prince of England, claim to be crowned this day sovereign of the realm and as defender of the Holy Sepulchre to receive the blessing of the Church?
By right of blood succession, according to the law of the realm.
Is it of your own free will that you thus depose your brother, Richard the Lionheart of England?
Richard no longer exists. From this moment forward, I, John, am King of England.
Aren't you a little premature, brother?
Richard, the Lionheart!
King
Richard!
It is the king
let
is!
Let us go!
Robin darts onto the dais as his men take off their habits and cowls.
Pick up the outlaws! Kill him! Seize him!
Robin and Sir Guy cross swords and the battle is joined. The High Sheriff takes cover behind the prince. The King's knights join the fray. A myriad sword fights break out across the Great Hall in a battle royal. The King himself gets stuck in with a sword, as do Will and Little John. From a gallery, Much drops a hefty wooden table on top of soldiers on the floor below. Much hiding in the groin of massive trusses, supporting the vaulted ceiling, clubs passing soldiers on the head with a mace. A candelabrum is sent flying as Tuck, wearing his helmet, does battle. Much reaches out from the groin of trusses and snatches the helmet from a soldier's head before clubbing him. Robin and Sir Guy are still fighting their personal duel. Gisborne falls back against timber surrounds of large doors. Robin snatches a nearby lance and flings it at Gisborne, pinning him by his surcoat, sleeve and cloak. Robin races up a spiral stairway as Gisborne struggles to free himself. Now Robin is hurtling down what appear to be dungeon steps. He stops halfway and looks back to see Gisborne in hot pursuit. They fence on the steps.
Did I upset your plans?
You've come to Nottingham once too often. When this is over, my friend, there'll be no need for me to come again.
The duel continues. Eventually, Gisborne lunges. Robin steps aside and Gisborne falls headfirst to the flagstone's floor below. Robin jumps from the steps to confront him.
Your sword, Gisborne.
Robin tows Sir Guy's sword to him. He takes it with relish and the battle goes on, as it does in the Great Hall. Robin and Sir Guy lock swords. Sir Guy thrusts Robin backwards against a large floor-mounted candelabrum, which goes flying. Robin lies trapped underneath.
You know any prayers, my friend?
I'll say one for you.
Robin makes a riposte. Sir Guy recoils. Robin escapes from under the candelabrum. They fight over the top of it. Robin jumps over the candelabrum and forces Gisborne backwards. They cast giant shadows like Sonne Lumiere on an enormous structural pillar. Gisborne casts aside a tall smoking brazier. They're either side of a heavy table with a candle on it. Robin slashes at Gisborne, who ducks. The candle is shattered. Gisborne turns the table over on Robin, who falls to the floor. With both feet, he shoves the table back at Gisborne and springs to his feet. In the Great Hall, the fighting continues, with Little John taking on all comers. Robin advances, Gisborne parries, and with a riposte, forces Robin to retreat. Now a riposte from Robin, and Gisborne retreats. So their contest ebbs and flows. As fighting from the Great Hall spills towards them, Gisborne pushes Robin against a wall and holds him there, eyeball to eyeball. The endgame seems to have begun. With a free hand, Gisborne pulls a dagger and stabs at Robin's face. He dodges it, and with a massive heave, shoves Gisborne backwards. Robin lunges forward and drives his sword into Gisborne's gut. Gisborne's body has fallen over a parapet and lies crumpled on a lower dungeon floor. A trio of soldiers, swords drawn, rushes up steps to Robin. From above, Will, Much, Tuck and Little John spot the danger and rush to Robin's aid. His men arrive. Robin jumps from the steps and heads for a cell.
Quick, lads, from that field fire!
At sword point, a guard opens the cell door. Robin rushes in and sees Marion. He embraces her and holds her close. Mm-hmm. Swords, crossbows and lances are thrown on top of shields on the floor of the Great Hall. Robin's men, Richard's knights, the Bishop of the Black Canons, the High Sheriff and Prince John stand in front of the dais and King Richard.
But Richard, Richard, I thought...
You thought I was murdered?
No, I didn't mean to. After all, Richard, I am your brother.
Yes, sir, he is your brother.
Yes, my brother. I could forgive you if your treachery were only against me and not against my subjects. I banish you and your followers from England for the remainder of my lifetime. Take them away. See if they leave England. And I further banish from my realm all injustices and oppressions which have burdened my people. And I pray that under my rule, Normans and Saxons alike will share the rights of Englishmen. What about you, Robin?
With Will, Tuck, Little John, Much and Bess, Robin moves forward and stands before the king.
My sword is yours, sire, now and always. Is there nothing England's king can grant the outlaw who showed him his duty to his country?
Yes, your majesty. A pardon for the men of Sherwood.
Granted with all my heart.
The king looks at Marion on the dais beside him.
Is there nothing for yourself?
There's but one thing else, sire.
He looks at Marion, who is radiant.
And do you too wish...
More than anything in the world, sire.
She looks blissful.
Kneel, Robin Hood.
Robin kneels and is dubbed.
Arise, Robin, Baron of Locksley, Earl of Sherwood and Nottingham, and Lord of all the lands and manors appertaining thereto. My first command to you, my Lord Earl, is to take in marriage the hand of the Lady Marion.
Robin's men surround the happy couple. Unseen by the king, they sneak away from the scrum of merry men.
What say you to that, Baron of Locksley?
All eyes go to the entrance doors to the Great Hall, where Robin and Marion, arm in arm, turn to face the king, beaming.
May I obey all your commands with equal pleasure, sire.
With the approbation of king and subjects, Robin and Marion turn and leave as the great door swings shut behind them. The end.